Welcome to IBBA Insights, providing expert advice on buying or selling small businesses. IBBA Insights is presented by the International Business Brokers Association, the world's largest nonprofit organization for those helping others sell or buy businesses. Now, here's your host, Chris Diglio.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Chris Diglio, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the International Business Brokers Association for having a show to bring important topics pertaining to the sale of businesses to you, the listening audience. On today's episode, we're going to talk about one of the most important and sometimes most terrifying topics in business. That's retirement. We all want to retire someday, but most of us don't have a plan. Even worse, the thought of retirement scares us so much that we push it off to the side and say to ourselves, we'll figure it out later. And I meet with business owners every day, and the most common questions they have are concerning retirement. They want to know when they can retire. How much money do they need to retire? How much money is going to be left after they sell their business? What are they going to do with the proceeds from the sale of the business? Who's going to help them make those decisions? When do they start planning for retirement? Is it too late? Did I wait too long? And these are real questions. These are real concerns. And hopefully today on today's show, we're going to tackle these questions and give you really good answers. So you don't want to miss today's show if you're a business owner and these questions have crossed your mind. If you own a business and retirement isn't on your mind, why? Because retirement creeps up on us all and you want to be prepared. And if you're a business broker, you're going to encounter people looking to sell their businesses to retire and you want to be informed so that you can truly help your client. You have one shot at selling a business. You want to maximize the sale price and keep as much as it is possible to help fund your retirement. That's why I'm very happy to have on a guest today that certainly is more than qualified to talk about this topic and so much more. Monty Walker is my guest. He's the founder of Walker Business Advisory Services based out of Wichita Falls, Texas. And Monty's so much more than a CPA. He's a guru when it comes to understanding tax laws. Monty helps you understand your current financial situation, projecting future needs, and developing a plan to make sure it happens. Monty is a longtime contributor to both the IBBA and M&A Source. He's created so many courses and workshops helping business brokers around the world. He's a former board member of the IBBA and a current director of the M&A Source. Now, the one thing I hear from most IBBA and M&A Source members when we talk about Monty is if they ever have a question about taxes or anything else he teaches, all they need to do is call him, and he's always there to help. I know I've called him on numerous occasions, and if he wasn't available, he's always called me back, and he's always been more than willing to help. And even though he has a very busy schedule, he's been gracious enough to join us on the show today. Monty, welcome.
I appreciate being here. Thank you for having me.
It's certainly our pleasure, and the listening audience, they're the ones that I hope are going to be the ones that, and I know are going to be the ones that get the most out of this. So we're going to jump right into the questions because I have a lot of them, and I want to be able to cover them all on today's show. So let's just start off with one that comes across on the mind of every business owner. How important is it to plan for retirement, and when should a business owner begin this process?
Well, a business owner technically should be thinking about the finish line as they start getting into business. Now, that may be difficult for a family where they've grown up, an individual's grown up in the family, they're not really thinking that. They're just doing what families do. But for new entrepreneurs, when that business is started, acquired, I don't care if it's a franchise, an existing operation, or a concept that they've created at their kitchen table on the back of a napkin, they should see the finish line in sight. And so when they get in, they should think about where is that business going to be at 10, 15, 20 years, whatever that time horizon is, how am I going to transition out? And then the decision is, do I depend exclusively on that business to fund my retirement, or do I not? So that is a big problem that many of the entrepreneurs face. How am I going to think about it? But they need to be thinking about retirement when they start that company, not some later point.
It always amazes me. I'll talk to business owners and they say, you know, I want to sell my business. I want to retire. And I'll say to them, well, great. You know, what is your time frame? Well, I'd like to sell it in the next 3 to 6 months. And Yes, that can be done, but certainly it's much more advantageous to start early. But it scares people sometimes, Monty. They sit there and they think, oh my God, I haven't started yet. And I hear people like yourself, Monty, and Cress and other business brokers that sit there and they'll tell you that you need to start planning for retirement day one. But what if they haven't started day one? Is it too late?
It's never too late. I guess there are opportunities that present themselves greater at the beginning. So the further out you are, the more options you have. As time goes by, the less options you have. It's just a natural that's what happens. So if there's a planning need, if there's a preparatory need, if there's a certain amount of funding need, well, the closer you get to that stage of where you're selling, the less opportunity you have to develop those funds. And the reality is nobody knows for certain what the value of their business will be. And so many entrepreneurs look to their company to provide those retirement dollars. And they get caught up making a major mistake that entrepreneurs make. And that is they work in the business instead of on it. And on it means I am working on not only the success of the company, but I'm working on myself and my life. And I have to diversify my assets away from that company. And so people get caught working in it, challenged every day just to do what's happening to them every day, and they never stop long enough to prepare and diversify the assets they have in their life. And that asset being the company becomes essentially 100% not a good place to be. Never concentrate like that.
No, and people might have a retirement plan in mind. They say, oh, I want to retire when I'm 55, 60, 65, 70, whatever the age might be. But then sometimes life happens, right? I've had clients walk into the office and unfortunately they're diagnosed with a terminal disease or illness, and they're not going to be around. And they never thought about the retirement, or they thought, well, we had plenty of time to think about it later. So to me, that's the important part about starting early, because you can have a great plan, but you truly never know when you might have to sell the business, but you should always be ready to sell it.
There's some truth to that. Being ready to sell that is that part where you're actually working on it consistently. But things do happen. People prepare for what they think is going to be a very easygoing retirement. They're thinking about, I'm going to spend more time with family. I'm going to have plenty of money. Then all of a sudden, a major retailer opens up on the corner, not too far away, and that dilutes their value. Or it is heavily driven around the capacity of a person. That person is the one who ends up being sick, like you said. So something major occurs, and then the value of the company is dramatically impacted. Or somebody gets hurt. They're not sick. It's not a life event that is devastating where they're no longer here, but they just get hurt and are incapable of carrying on. So everybody has this ambition of what they think they're going to see when they get to the retirement. But if they're not preparing ongoing where it fits what you just said, they should be ready at any point if that event should occur. Most entrepreneurs just don't stop long enough to be to prepare that way. They just don't.
No, I certainly agree. Well, let's flip it a little bit and look at it from the perspective of a business broker. A business owner calls a business broker. They're looking to sell their business. They tell the broker, hey, I'm looking to retire. What are some of the things that a business broker should ask so they could help understand what the true needs of the business owner are so that they can help them achieve their goals?
Well, the owner that's made that phone call, I'm ready to retire, experienced business broker knows that may not mean I'm ready to quit working. So is that individual truly, truly ready to move into what historically people have said retirement is, meaning I'm not working every day, I'm going to spend time doing something else? So the first thing that the business broker needs to do is get their hands around, what does that really mean? What's the definition of retirement? What age is this individual? The younger they are, the likely is the less that they would want to just do nothing. And the reality is most business owners find themselves wanting to do something. They've been successful, so they're wanting to do something. So are they really looking to retire? If they are retired to do nothing, how are they going to spend their time? Is it with their spouse? Is it spending time doing charitable things? Is it spending time using their background and knowledge to help others and develop in business? They have grandkids. What do they have? And then, of course, are they really thinking about redeploying and going and doing something else? They're retiring out of this, but not retiring from work. So the broker's got to get their hands around what they really mean. Now, how's that going to help them hit that next stage of what they've indicated they really want to do?
Yeah, that's a great point. Monty, I'm a big proponent of assembling a team, right? I believe if you want to become a trusted advisor as a business broker, you have to align yourself with people that have the best interest of the client first and foremost in their sights. So I like, and when someone contacts me and says, oh, I'm looking to sell my business and I'm looking to retire, I always first ask them if they're working with someone on that, if they have a financial planner or someone that's helped them understand what that's going to mean. And if they don't, I like to introduce them to some people. How important do you think as a business broker it is to align themselves with professionals like yourself that can better assist the client in the long run?
The team concept is there. I mean, it's impossible to do things on your own. As professionals, because that's what we do, we advise people. And first and foremost, the business broker needs to pull their mindset in that they're an advisor first. Their role is to be an advisor to their client. I'm not here just to help you sell something. I'm here to advise you and take you down a path. Now, that with that in mind, they need to be thinking about how are they going to cater to the needs of that business owner. So they need a team of people around them that they've assembled that they can pull upon for resources to help to cater to the need. And if it's retirement, as soon as the broker finds out what the real need is, then they can bring that resource to the table. So if they truly are thinking, I'm not going to work, I really need to make sure I've got the resources once I sell, they need to get a wealth provider or some financial planner to the table. If their thing is, I'm going to redeploy, I just need to make sure that I maximize the proceeds from this transaction, and now I'm going to go do something else. All right, now let's get a game plan in place to redeploy. The broker's attention on another venture along with proper tax planning may be the strategy. So, and if they find out, well, I have a problem. I'm in a blended family. It's something different than I've ever been in before because I got remarried. Well, it may be that they have certain planning needs. All right. An estate planning person may need to be there. An attorney who has specialized areas of practice like that. That intermediary is the hub of controlling all of that. And so the business brokers have to make sure they've got a team around them to really cater to the need. And they'll do that if they think of themselves as an advisor first. I'm an advisor to the client, and an advisor has a team, and they have resources to provide help to the client.
And when I got in the business 20 years ago, I remember my father telling me, you know, you're not a salesperson. He hated the word salesperson when it came to selling people's businesses. He always thought that our role was to be an advisor, to help educate the client, to help them understand what the possibilities are. And I found throughout the years, if I align myself with really smart individuals like yourself, I just look better. So, and it best serves the needs of the clients, which is the most important. Their needs should always come first.
That's exactly right. You want to strengthen that relationship, then you become the party that is there to cater to the full need. When that client comes and says, I want you to help me sell what could very well be the most valuable thing that they have as far as an asset in their life. Many people, that's that maybe that property, that home they have, but entrepreneurs, they'll find that that's that business. So if you have somebody who is coming to you and they are asking you to help them sell what could be the most valuable thing, and what is it? That's provide the cash for possibly education for their kids. That is provided the living capacity. That's where their friends are. That's where they're caught up in their legacy about what they're leaving behind. Everything it tends to happen around that business. Well, you got to realize that you need to make sure you can cater to the needs of what they're needing. And you can't do that by yourself. I mean, even the Lone Ranger hit Tonto. I mean, so you can't do that by yourself.
That's true. I'll never forget what I was taught when I first got into the business many years ago. I was told that you could do what's in your best interest and you could probably make a dollar today, or you can do what's in the client's best interest and you can make a career out of it. And I think that's so true. You can never go wrong with taking care of your client, because word of mouth, referrals, if you're going to be in it for the long haul, that's where you're going to make your living.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, it's this issue with a business broker saying, what is their purpose? I mean, we're looking and talking about clients right now and their goals, but business brokers also have a goal and they have to make a decision. Is my goal to truly just be successful, or is my goal to be significant? And see, advisors first have to choose. My goal is to be significant, because if I'm significant, success will follow. Ironically, you can be successful and never be significant. How's that? Because if your goal is to make $1 million, you'll do whatever you have to step on anyone and everyone. You hit the success goal, but you failed along the way because you left a path of destruction. Well, with business owners, we need to focus as advisors on being significant. If we are, we'll look past the dollars and we'll realize when we're making decisions, we're there to help them, not to maximize every bit of dollars that they can we can extract from them. And as a result, our advisor first mentality will take over.
I like that. I hope you don't mind if I use that. Be significant. I like that a lot.
Okay.
Well, Monty, business owners want to know when is the right time to retire, or if they can even afford to retire. Just because they get a big payday doesn't mean they get to keep it all. I know everyone has a different tax situation, but how can they determine what they're going to be able to keep after a sale? And are there ways to keep more of it?
When dealing with this after-tax issue, it's a moving target, isn't it? Now we got into a position where corporate taxes have been lowered, and we're in pass-through entities. Now we have a lowering of taxes there, but it tends to change with the party that is in the control factor with Congress. So we have one group that's lowered taxes. Now we have a change in Congress coming, and now that group is saying that we're going to see a tax increase. Okay, is that going to be for everyone? Will that be for just a small part? Or will we now have an embattlement in Congress and it stays exactly the way it is? So unfortunately, it's an ever-moving target. But the reality is this. When you think about running your business as an entrepreneur, that structure that entrepreneur has chosen has a direct bearing on the net results that can come to them. So whether they're running from a C corporation or an S corporation or an LLC, there's so many different options. The fact is, you've got to look at what the tax loads will be and make a change early on with early planning if it's appropriate. But it's what you land it with in your pocket once you've paid your appropriate taxes that is going to matter, and not so much what's the total deal value, but what's the total amount left over once you get through the tax load.
That's so true. I mean, the tax laws are ever changing, and with the ever changing tax laws, how important is it for a business broker, a business intermediary, business professional, and business owner themselves to align themselves with knowledgeable experts like yourselves or someone like you?
It's critical. Business owners, as we had said at the beginning of our discussion here on retirement, business owners lose options as time goes by. And many times when a business owner starts initial conversations with a broker, there may not have been any planning that's happened. This is the first entree into any form of planning. So the business broker really needs to do what they can at that point to be able to get the owner of that company starting to think about what's the net after effect impact. So these brokers need to align themselves with somebody who pays attention specifically to the transition tax planning. And when those owners are starting to have initial discussions with the broker, start getting them to focus on this issue, because if some changes need to be done, if there's some advanced planning that needs to occur, maybe some tools that need to be integrated into the presentation materials, some guidelines that need to be thrown at a potential buyers, all of those things, the longer you go, the harder it is to deal with those things. And so in other words, do you want to put the bow tie on that business and pretty it up as much as you can and prepare it? Or do you want to leave yourself in a reactionary mode and respond to things at a late point in the deal when you can't make a change at all? Not good. You can't do that. You need to start early with clients.
We know that when someone sells their business, they're more than likely counting on that money to go towards their retirement. What we don't know is how much of it they're going to keep, because we're not going to know as a business broker where they are and what implications the taxes have, because everyone's tax situation may be a little different. But because we know that could be a problem, I think it's imperative that we make sure that that business owner understands what their net proceeds are going to be and what they may be able to do with it afterwards. Because the worst thing that you want to do is a day before, 2 days before closing, you get that phone call from the business owner and they say, yeah, I have to back out of this contract. I can't sell the business. I just sat down with my CPA or my financial planner, and they're telling me I'm not going to net enough out of this transaction to be able to retire. That's a horrible time to hear that. And it's the worst thing you want to hear for all that's involved.
That's true. How many brokers have waited till the 11th hour only to have their clients learn those points? It's terrible. Now, it's true. A business broker can maybe stay really active. They may not want to address this issue because in their mind, it can create a problem with the client not wanting to sell. So they can stay very busy till 11th hour, and then their client finds out, then it all falls apart. So they felt good about all the work they were doing. At the end, it doesn't matter. So as important as it is for the business owner to understand what they will have left over, it's as important to make sure from a broker's perspective that they spend adequate and proper time, and they don't need to spend time with something that's going to fail. And I have learned this, most of the owners of companies, it's not that they're unwilling to sell, even if the tax loads are too bad, it's that they're unwilling to do it when they're caught off guard. And if they are told early on enough, and so they can prepare, they can accept it, they can see that the alternatives, there are none, or that there are things that can be done to make a small change. If those things are handled at the earlier stages of getting that engagement underway with the client, the chances are greater, much, much greater, that they will follow through and they won't just pull out.
Yeah, I've said this often on this podcast, and anyone that knows me, they've heard me say this time and time again. The next best thing to closing a deal and making money is to kill it early, because you have less time spent on it and it's less painful. And it's not just your pain as the business broker, but it's the individuals involved, the seller. They've already in their mind, they're off in retirement land, right? The person that was going to buy the business, they're envisioning themselves how they're going to build this and build towards their retirement. And at the 11th hour, having to all unravel just hurts everybody.
It does. And it's an unfortunate problem that the business brokers do have, and that is they're not always looked upon by maybe the accountants and other tax advisors out there, because there's a lot of people who provide tax advice and they're not necessarily CPA. But as the clients look to whomever that party is in their life, there's a disadvantage that the business broker has, and they're having to acquiesce to whatever that client's being told by that other party, by their tax person. And they, as a broker, can get that part under control by just getting information into their hands early. And it does, with their team, assemble a team around themselves and have somebody on that team provide information. It makes it much more difficult to have the client misled. And misleading is not always an absolute intentional. As an example, it could be that the average tax rate on their transaction might be 23%, as an example. But some of the people out there, these tax people, will run calculations at what the highest tax rate potentially could be. They have misinformed their client, and maybe it wasn't that their absolute intention was to do that, but because they weren't taking the time to analyze it properly, they gave the wrong information. And so it causes the client to make a decision, and that's not in the best interest of the client, just because of tax.
And that's why it's important to surround yourself with good people. And when I refer somebody, I want to know that they understand. It's like doing a business closing and someone says, well, I'm going to have my attorney do it. Well, just because they're an attorney doesn't mean they've ever done a business closing before, right? So they might not truly understand what all's involved, and it could take them 10 times longer to prepare the documents. And the documents might not be as great as they would be if you used a professional that was used to doing that on a day-to-day basis. Same thing with tax implications. If you're not working with someone that understands the current tax structure, what's going on, how it's going to benefit or how it's going to affect you either way, you're certainly doing yourself a disservice.
That's true. If the person providing the tax information has no motivation to misinform the client, such as, am I, as the ongoing practitioner for the client, worried about losing write-up revenue? Well, am I tending to really put a positive twist on selling, or am I going to put some negative twist on it? Well, the intermediary is the only one at the table. That broker is the only one at the table that is focused on doing what can be done in the interest of buyer and seller, because the intermediary is there to help move a deal across the finish line. And the advisors, such as the tax person advising maybe the seller, their objective is to try to sometimes just be impressive to their client, but they're certainly not looking for all the positive things on why they should sell. So you need to get hands around what's happening on the tax side and provide good positive information to the clients, because you just don't know. As the broker, if you've got opposing interest against you out there working against you, trying to keep the deal from happening at all.
Well, Monty, let's shift over to deal structure. Business owners most of the time think they need all cash at closing to retire. Is that on a case-to-case basis, or there can be, or can there be tax advantages to financing a portion of the transaction?
A bird in the hand is always a good thing. I mean, if somebody can give 100% cash, that's great. I mean, that let it happen if that's possible. But the reality is most transactions are going to require some form of carry. And if you talk with an entrepreneur, these people start to sell. They're pretty consistent. I'm not going to finance anything. I want all cash. Well, it takes somebody getting them to understand the chances of that are low. Most of the time, you're going to have some level of financing that will be required. So getting that expectation settled early on is very important. That can easily be done when the tax processes are being addressed. Show them what they can get, show them options. And sometimes actually carrying part of the deal, you can actually get the taxes down lower. So there are many occasions, depending on how much you're having to carry as a seller, that the occasions are there that they can actually turn out a lot better in the long run. And don't forget, they can negotiate their interest rate. So assuming that there's not a high risk in getting paid, the interest factors that they can get on the float time can be very much greater than what they possibly could get in the market. So there's a dual benefit, tax management and income stream. And income stream from revenue being off the interest floats.
You know, there are no guarantees in life, but business owners, they'll come in and they'll say, I've heard horror stories about seller financing. People didn't get paid and the business shut down. And I often say, or I ask them, well, how much of the deal was financed? And most of the time when we find out business finance deals failed, where someone put little to nothing down. And I tell them the story. I said, look, there's no guarantees in life, but if your business is going to sell for $500,000 and someone puts nothing down and they have one of those bad days that you know you have as a business owner, but you, the business owner, because you have your blood, sweat, and tears and your livelihood all put into this business, when you have that bad day, you go to work. Well, when someone has nothing invested in it and they have that bad day, you know what they're doing? They're giving you the key back. Now, when that person that puts $250,000, $300,000 down has that bad day, they're going to go to work and they might not be able to figure it out, but you certainly know they're going down with the ship. They're going to try everything they can because they're heavily invested in that. So sometimes the structure has, and how much money someone puts down has to do with the success or not the success of a seller financing deal.
That correlates directly to why the lenders of the world want these borrowers to have some skin in the game. So they want to have a substantial amount in the down payment that's there. The less that somebody has in skin in the game, the less likely they are to stand up and take the hits as it gets tough. And being an entrepreneur, the entrepreneurs who built the company know it's not easy to build. And likewise, the people who buy, it's not easy to continue on and handle the debt loads and the stresses that come along with it. And many of these entrepreneurs looked out the window at work and envisioned being their own boss. And then they get out, find out they have to do everything. And then everybody else is telling them what to do. Every client tells you what to do. And so they finally say, I've had enough. And Chris, you're right. If they have little skin in the game, they can just as easily walk away. But if you've got $200,000, $300,000, $400,000 and you're in possibly other assets in your life leveraged, you're motivated. You've got to do whatever you have to do to keep that thing floating. So more you have at stake, the greater the chance of success. So if somebody is going to do financing, you just know that they need a good amount of money. Don't do 100%. Make a good amount of money come down from the other side.
Yeah, and I agree with you. If you can get all cash, that's the greatest thing in the world. But if you can't, then the structure, how much you get down, and there can be tax advantages. And you typically can get a much higher interest rate if you do some financing. So I have a couple of more questions for you, Monty, before we end the show. The first one would be, what advice would you give to business brokers, business intermediaries, on how to best serve their clients who are looking to sell their businesses and retire?
It goes back to the beginning of what I said about being an advisor first. The best advice I can give somebody is wake up every day and realize you're a business transition advisor. You are there to be a professional. And if you want to be an advisor, you have to think like an advisor. And that means you have to get your mindset off that your role and goal is simply to get somebody willing to buy that company. You need to look at what the needs of that client are. And I can absolutely assure everybody that would hear this message today that if you focus on the needs of that individual, they will know it. And if they feel that you really care about what's happening to them, they will follow. But the moment it sounds like all you want is to get a commission, they're going to smell that. And then that's when you lose their confidence. So the best thing is be an advisor, care about them, nurture them, and guide them in the right path. And if the right path is that they shouldn't sell, don't try to force it. Do the right thing. Just do the right thing. Be significant. Don't try to shoot for success.
If you're a business broker listening to this program right now, I hope you just heard what Monty said. If not, listen to it again, because 1,000% true what he said, and you should take that advice to heart. So the final question, Monty, what advice would you give to business owners concerning their business and their retirement?
Business owners need to constantly look to that finish line. They need to nurture the development of their company, but they also need to nurture the development of what's happening outside of that. Try, as a business owner, the business owner needs to try the person's best to not get themselves completely wrapped up in the business. The business is not them. There's bigger things happening in their life that is them, but the business can take over. So you've got to continue to prepare. Think about the things we've talked about today on retirement. Work on the business, not in it. Delever. Have assets outside of that. And more important, think about the balance of your life. People get so wrapped up in their business that they lose sight of what's most important. And the fact is, we're here to advise business owners, but business owners need to realize that the things that are more important, all the relational things that they have, their family, their friends, their marriages, you know, those grandkids, all those things are what's most important. And they need to think about the business in terms of a secondary effect to help them achieve goals in those other areas. And don't let the business take over, but do develop it, nurture it, because it's a big part of who they are.
Monty, that was great advice. I couldn't have said it better myself. And thank you so much for sharing that with the audience. You shared a lot of information today. We have audience members that are listening today that may be in need of your services. You mind sharing how they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. They can find me on the internet at www.walkeradvisory.com, or they can call me directly at our office. That's 940-322-5086.
Monty, thanks again for joining us today. As always, you've provided a wealth of knowledge and information. I look forward to seeing you at the IBBA and M&A Source conferences next year.
All right, I do too. I appreciate that.
Thanks again, Monty.
Thank you.
On the next episode, we're going to continue the topic of retirement. More specifically, we're going to talk about transitioning a business to the next generation. We have a father and a son on the show who are going to share their story on transitioning their business, what to look out for, how to successfully transition, and making sure that the sale of the business doesn't ruin the family dynamics. Business sales can ruin family relationships. Tune in to learn how to make it work for you and your family. For more information about our show and future episodes, please visit ibba.org. Thank you again for listening today, and I look forward to talking with you next time.